The Washington Commanders football team is officially coming back to the nation's capital. The D.C. Council voted by a wide margin to approve a multi-billion dollar package that clears the way for a new 65,000-seat stadium and a huge mixed-use development on the site of the old RFK Stadium. Critics of the stadium deal say that Mayor Muriel Bowser and her Democratic Party allies are handing over billions of dollars to Commanders majority owner Josh Harris, a good friend of President Donald Trump. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with freelance reporter Pete Tucker about the deal just before it was approved.
So what's going on with the Washington Commanders? I remember when they were owned by Dan Snyder, they were kind of controversial then, or at least he was. So now this guy, Josh Harris, has taken over, or at least he's, what is he, the majority owner, I guess. And you're talking about some kind of sweetheart deal they're trying to make with the city or the district of D.C. What's going on there and what role is the mayor playing?
Well, Dan Snyder was the owner for quite a while, even though he is quite toxic. I was actually hoping he would keep owning the team because he was so toxic that it was hard to get one of these sweetheart taxpayer-funded stadiums built. The moment he sold the team to Josh Harris, the wheels started turning on bringing the Washington football team, formerly the Redskins, now the Commanders, back to D.C. to its longtime home where the RFK Stadium was and where they played there for decades. It moved a few miles away into Maryland for the past years. And so there's been a push to build a brand spanking new stadium and get the team back to D.C. And the team is desperate to get back to D.C. It's, you know, in the nation's capital. It's great marketing. So D.C. held, I don't want to say all of the cards, but D.C. held quite a few cards and yet didn't play any of them and instead has just gift wrapped the last remaining large undeveloped parcel in the nation's capital. It's about 180 acres riverfront alongside the Anacostia River and essentially giving it to Josh Harris. It's 30-year lease for $2 a year and then it's a market rate for a few years and then it's discounted thereafter. So the way that the deal has been sold, Mayor Muriel Bowser, D.C.'s mayor, she initially said it was going to be $850 million in taxpayer support. But that turns out to be just the upfront money. And actually, it's now, you know, it's way more than that. But that's just the upfront money. The real meat of the largesse here comes in the form of these radically reduced rent payments and tax forgiveness over the many years. And that's where you're getting well into the billions. It hasn't been reported that way, crucially in the Washington Post. They kept saying $850 million. That's what they did a poll on and then said, oh, majority of D.C. residents support this. It started inching up to more than a billion. They never did a poll on that. They finally admitted it's well over $2 billion. It's vague how much that is. Neil DeMuse, who is this fabulous sports journalist who has this site called Field of Schemes, and he covers the stadium deals across the country. So he has real expertise. He says this is the most expensive deal that he's ever seen. And he puts the value at over $6.5 billion. That is what DC is gifting to Josh Harris, who is a billionaire worth some $12 billion. So he could easily afford to build this stadium on his own. He's one of the co-founders of Apollo Management, the huge private equity firm. It was also co-founded by Leon Black, who famously had to resign in disgrace when it became public that he had given over $150 million to the child sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. And the last thing I would say, David, is that D.C. is fully controlled by Democrats. And the Democratic Party is just looking nationally as the opposition party. It does not have the White House or Congress. And what exactly is it that the Democratic Party stands for? Because while, you know, Trump...
To get elected.
Yeah, that would be great. If the Democratic Party would actually put first and foremost getting itself elected, that would be a huge advance on what we're looking at here, because it's actually in the service of billionaires, which is the opposite to get yourself elected, and it leaves yourself wide open to getting defeated by Trump and the like.
This sounds really different than what we're used to hearing. Usually you hear that a team will threaten to leave a city if the city doesn't build them a new stadium. And it's kind of a, like a, what do you call it? Not blackmail, but extortion, yeah, in a sense.
Absolutely. And that did happen here in the sense that they were in Maryland. They said, oh, you know, maybe we'll stay in Maryland. Maybe we'll go to Virginia. you just never know. But really, they were very clear they were dying to come to DC. So DC had all the cards. And just to wrap back to the last point I was making, which is that Democrats are the opposition party. And so what is it that they stand for? Well, it is here saying we also love billionaires. And Mayor Bowser, to pay for this deal, she is cutting tens of thousands off Medicaid. She is making extremely harsh cuts to social services in order to hand this huge bag of money to a billionaire. And of course, Trump, to pay for his so-called big, beautiful bill, made something like $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid, which will start feeling in a couple years. I think I think it starts kicking in like after the 2026 elections or something.
So when the mayor first seemed to welcome Trump's intervention in Washington, D.C. to supposedly prevent crime, was that kind of part of this, not part of the deal directly, but was she kind of trying to get on his good side, something like that?
Mayor Bowser is close with Josh Harris, the owner of the Commanders, who she just gifted all these billions to. And Josh Harris is very tight with Trump. In fact, Trump wanted him in his cabinet in his first administration as Office of Management and Budget Director. With relationships like that, I do think there is some connective tissue that would have made Mayor Bowser unlikely to, you know, stridently oppose what Trump was doing. But also, that's just who she is. And to be fair to her, D.C. is in a horrible place when it comes to Trump, because unlike the 50 states, D.C. is not a state. So therefore, you know, the D.C. National Guard actually reports directly to Trump. So he could just mobilize them. There are provisions where he can just declare an emergency and seize the D.C. police force, as he did for 30 days. And he can surge federal officers into every stripe, including ICE, into D.C. I guess he can do that anywhere. And he certainly did that in D.C. So there are structural disadvantages that any mayor has to grapple with. And Bowser had to grapple with those. And so when it first happened, I was really insistent on holding my tongue about any, you know, because no mayor signed up to get the trash picked up, to provide jobs and economic development and safety for sure. And not to have armed troops just descending on your city when you don't want them. That's not in the job description. And so I was really determined to give Mayor Bowser leeway. You know, she's not going to be perfect. But for me and for many others, the dam broke when she, you know, Trump was explicit. I'm using this as an example. I've done something similar in LA where he, you know, flooded ICE and I think the National Guard into the city. This was, you know, a hugely more substantial takeover. And he just said, LA has a black mayor, Karen Bass. DC has a black mayor, Muriel Bowser. And he said, I'm going to go into Chicago, New York, Oakland, and every single city that he highlighted has a black mayor and a significant black population, which voted overwhelmingly against him. And so as he is saying this, it is very clear. And he's saying, I'm going to use DC as the example to launch this effort into these black-led cities. And so at this point, Mayor Bowser holds a press conference and says, actually, it's been, you know, really helpful what he's done. And at that point, she crossed the line for so many, including for myself. I found that to be inexcusable and not just justified by the structural imbalances as real as they are. That was inexcusable.
And then does she try to walk it back a little because she's getting criticism?
She did. She was upset about a certain headline in the Post that I can't remember exactly what it was, but she didn't like that it portrayed her as doing exactly what she did. And so she did try and walk it back a bit. And, you know, she is in a tough spot, but that really isn't explicable, other than it would be very interesting to learn in the weeks and months and years ahead who was whispering in her ear. And you know, because who thought it would be a good idea? Because district residents are overwhelmingly opposed to this military takeover of the city. Washington Post did a poll, and it had 8 out of 10 district residents opposed. So that's where district residents are, overwhelmingly opposed. But that's not, you know, the stance that she took. So sure, she's been trying to dial it back a little bit, but then she can't dial it back too much, or Trump will get outraged, and he could just ramp things up. I mean, it still has a military and ICE presence in the city. It's dialed down as far as the guard. So, but he could take over the police again, not necessarily legally. You have to declare an emergency. You have to maybe declare another emergency, but there's things he can do. So she is in a tight spot, but that doesn't excuse or explain some of her just acquiescing so willingly to Trump.
What about opposition to the stadium deal among the population, or for that matter, on the city council? Anything there?
Well, amongst the population, I would say, David, we just don't know, because the one poll that was taken, as I think I said, was saying, what do you think about DC bringing back the team? The team has real popularity and spending $850 million to do so. And I think it was 55% in favor, something like that. And then the Post just blasted that poll out. I got a push alert on my phone. It was the headlines. It was everywhere. And that has nothing to do with the deal that's on the table.
So if people knew the real cost, they might have a different view, you're thinking?
Absolutely. I mean, if it's many billions of dollars, presumably, I don't think more people are going to like it if it costs exponentially more. And we're looking at going from $850 million to over $6.5 billion. So we're talking, you know, well over seven times the amount. I broke it down at something like, and I would love to see a poll that asked the question like this: do you think that each and every district resident, all 700,000, should fork over on average over $9,000 per person to a billionaire to build a stadium he can easily afford to build on his own? Of course, nothing like that will ever be polled. But so where do district residents stand on this? We have no idea. That one poll has nothing to do with the deal that's at play. Where DC council members stand is clearer, because they voted once. For a bill to become law, it has to be voted on twice, and then get DC's not a state, sent to Congress, and back Congress will be perfectly happy to sign off on all of DC's revenues going to a billionaire. The first vote was August 1st, I think, and it was 9-3. So there is, and the second vote is today, and it'll happen in any minute now or any hour now. And there's no reason to think it won't pass along very similar lines. As one columnist in the Post said, there is no Mamdani here in DC. We have a few council members who are really quite thoughtful and progressive, but people saw that this train had left the station. And so you want to make it better. Do you want to get a bit more housing out of this mass giveaway? You want to make sure the unions get the jobs and all that is worthwhile. But only three council members said no. And so this thing is, it looks like it's cooked. And I would just say, you know, how do you win an election nationally, Democrats, when you're saying Trump is wrong to pay for his big, beautiful bill, which lavishes on the rich by taking Medicaid and basic services from those in need? And yet, when you control the levers of government, and the Democrats are complete control of the levers of government here in D.C., you're doing exactly the same thing, knocking tens of thousands off Medicaid, cutting social services to hand billions of dollars to a billionaire, to a Trump-aligned billionaire, Josh Harris. So it's painful locally to see such an action taken. And I think it's painful nationally to see how is a national party going to appeal to people if you're just doing what Republicans do, who are far more entertaining when they do it. So it's painful all the way around this deal.
So if and when this stadium is built, will there be a competitive bidding process to figure out who gets to do the work, or is that a lock? Would that be Josh Harris's friends who would do that?
It's Josh Harris's baby. I think actually he becomes the general contractor. I think he becomes essentially the lord over not only this stadium, but he can build a mini city all around it. Remember, it's 180 acres. It's the last large remaining parcel of undeveloped land in DC. And so I believe he's the one who will build the stadium and then the parking lots. Now, what will be negotiated is are they going to use union labor? And I think today they'll ensure that, you know, there'll be more union jobs, and they want him to build a mini city and get some housing. You know, obviously DC, like everywhere else, needs housing. And the way it we'll see what happens today, but the way it was essentially no penalties if he doesn't. So he could build a mini city, you know, thousands of units, basically just doing what the city law requires, which I think is 15% affordable, and what the definition of affordable is not so affordable. And so he could do that. He could not do that. And he can just kind of reign over this huge parcel in the nation's capital. As Trump said, Trump did a press conference, a press event in the Oval Office in May with Josh Harris, with Muriel Bowser, with Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner. And the purpose of the Oval Office event was to highlight that the nation's capital, D.C., will be hosting the 2027, I believe, NFL draft on the National Mall. But Trump is buds with Josh Harris. And he said, look, this deal that y'all announced last month, this is a great, great deal for my buddy here. This is my friend. And this is an incredible piece of property because I'm a developer. This is an incredible piece of property. There are others, but this is the, one of the best in the world. And he was just effusing about this property. And he's right on that. What is so aggravating is everyone can see that. So why are you just gift wrapping it to a billionaire? In fact, the DC budget office did a study which looked at what happens as far as the tax revenue that we, the District of Columbia, receives over the next 30 years. If we build a stadium or if we don't build a stadium, we just let developers come in and we do housing and mixed development. And it turns out you make over $1 billion more in tax revenue by nixing the stadium and just doing housing and mixed development. And mind you, that's with no tax. That's forgetting about the $6.5 billion that is being, you know, gift wrapped. Just if you just let housing there, it is an extraordinary piece of property and it is an extraordinary lost opportunity.
And anything else you want to add?
I'm going to do a subsequent piece if my anger subsides on how the Washington Post, which interestingly editorialized against the deal, but at all the key moments, it helped to grease the wheels to get this over the finish line, including waiting until just hours before the deal to finally begin to come clean with readers and say what the deal actually will cost. And they've begun to say that. They said it'll be about more than $1 billion in upfront money and more than $1 billion in tax forgiveness and the like. Again, it's $6.5 billion, according to Neil DeMoos, who studies these things. But it's really quite extraordinary. All this time, they were saying $850 million. Then they were just vaguely saying more than $1 billion. And now at the 11th hour and 59 minutes, hours before the vote, after this deal has been talked about for years, and it's been this particular deal has been, you know, talked about for ever since the announcement, which is like, I don't know, June. No, I guess it would have been April, something like that. So to suddenly be like, oh, actually, it's well over over $2 billion is just, it's such a dereliction of journalistic duty. It is really something to behold.
Is this typical that the cost will go up before the project is even started? I mean, what I'm used to hearing about is development projects starting and then in the process, the people in charge will say, oh, this is going to cost more than we thought because we have to do this, this, and this. So
it's such a good question, David. In fact, the crazy thing is, as the costs have started going up in the media, in fact, the actual cost has come down. They just have not been honest about what this deal is. And so when the mayor first announced it, she said $850 million, and they just printed that. And then when they showed the deal, they just kept going with that. And when serious economists looked at it, they're like, yes, it's $850 million in upfront cash, but that's just the hors d'oeuvre. The main entree here is this $2 a year in rent for 30 years, these incredibly reduced rent payments. And then it continues to be for another 60 years at not that great a deal, but still an incredible deal in the nation's capital. To have that much land at that reduced rent payment is worth billions. And there's also tax forgiveness. So it was just exponentially more expensive than the Post said. And then when the council got the deal, for a moment, it looked like they were going to have a spine. And so they were able to claw back a few $100 million. And so the irony is, you're right, once a development project gets started, there's going to be, you know, cost unforeseen this, cost overrun that. But here actually was the opposite. The deal actually has gotten slightly better, and hundreds of millions of dollars have been accrued to district taxpayers as the council, you know, clawed back some of these things before the final vote. And so as the deal actually got better, the reporting is finally at the 11th hour showing that it's getting worse. But even that doesn't begin to provide the real cost to DC taxpayers. So not a good day journalistically, not a good day politically. And I don't think Democrats nationally understand that it's just hard to stand before voters when you're doing the same thing Republicans are doing.
I guess they've kind of been doing that for a long time anyway.
Of course, that's true. But DC is like 94% or something voted for, you know, the Democrats. And so this is extreme. Like, I expect, you know, that's the mantra of our time. You got to give, you know, these billionaires money to get their stadium built. But you don't have to do the most extreme subsidy in the history of this country. This is orders of magnitude beyond what was necessary. and it's painful. Mm-hmm. Painful.
You don't think that Harris promised to set the mayor up for life, do you? or other city officials?
I mean, I don't think that's the case. But look, Mayor Bowser, like so many Democrats, loves billionaires. You'll recall, David, in the 2020 presidential Democratic presidential primary, you had every stripe of Democrat running, from lefties like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren to, you know, Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden and everything in between. And you want to know who Muriel Bowser endorsed? She waited and waited, and she endorsed Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire, former Republican, and she served as his national co-chair for his campaign. And he spent $1 billion, and his campaign lasted about 100 days, breaking all sorts of records as far as spending. But she really likes billionaires, and she's perfectly comfortable with Republicans. And the D.C. council, that's a little harder, but it's a small city and a small town. And ironically, a majority of them said, personally, I'm against subsidies for stadiums. So right there, you had a majority who were like, no, I'm not comfortable. But then they're like, but this. And then they saw that the train, you know, was coming into the station. Did they want to get a piece of it for their constituents? And so they got on board for, you know, this little thing here and that little thing there, with the exception of three council members. And we'll see if they hold out again today. But it looks like they've got this thing sealed.
That's freelance reporter Pete Tucker speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on October 8th, 2025.